Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside. All right. Our next guest, Laurel Hanfield, is the owner and creator of Happy Island Press. She is a publisher that creates coloring activity books for children of color, but she also has been featured in highlights for Children's Magazine and the award-winning apps for Faria and readabilitytutor.com. She has written over 100 children's stories and articles, and I cannot wait for you to meet Laurel Hanfield. Welcome to Couch Time with Amy Wine, the podcast that's all about helping high achievers like you thrive in life, relationships, and business. Hey there, I'm your host, Amy Wine, and each week I will be bringing you insights, inspiration, and practical strategies to help you live your best life. So whether you're looking to improve your relationships, grow your business, or find more meaning and purpose, you have come to the right place. With expert interviews, real-life stories, and actionable advice, Couch Time with Amy Wine is the ultimate guide to personal growth and success. So grab your cup of coffee or tea, like me, get comfortable on that couch, and join me for real life, real relationships, real people. It is time to take your life to the next level, and I am here to help you every step of the way. I just want to welcome you to the couch, and I am so excited to have you here. I love it when people reach out to me and want to be on the podcast versus me having to go find somebody, because then I know like they probably have something really good to share. And when we read yours, and I was like, self-esteem in kids. Another, you have an app for reading, another website for this, and just stories and color books. And I thought, this woman is powerful speaking kids. So I have a question for you first before we dive in.
Okay.
Okay. But thank you for being here, first of all.
I appreciate you having me. I love being here. I love doing this.
Yes. Oh, good. Sometimes I just like dive in and I'm like, oh, I forgot to thank you for being here. I get so excited. I'm like, let's go. So the first question for you is this. What is something in the last week that has surprised you?
Something in the last week that has surprised me. I would have to say, well, I have a 20-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And we used to spend a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. Now that she's getting older, she doesn't want to spend as much time with me, I think. It's just kind of, you know, I think now she's getting a boyfriend, should I say? And, you know, the other day she came in and wanted to watch a movie just out of the blue. And I just thought it was the sweetest thing because, you know, we hadn't been spending a lot of time together. And when she asked me that, it really surprised me in a good way. It made my week.
I love it.
You know, because we used to be a lot closer, you know, when she was a little younger. And now, like I said, she's getting older and branching off on her own. I just thought it was so sweet. I just relished. I loved it. And I cherished it.
I love that. My kids are 20, 21, and 23.
Okay.
So I'm in that stage and I so feel you, mama. I love that. So I want to talk a little bit about what is it about self-esteem in kids and why is that something you're so passionate about and that you go teach and write books on?
Well, when I was younger, and I don't want to give my age away, but you know, I'm growing up in the 70s.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, thank you. So it's kind of like, for me specifically, I was a young African-American girl. Mm-hmm. I went to a predominantly white school area, and I didn't see many people like me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if I was pretty. I didn't know if I was worthy. And now you don't have people telling you that you are, but you have plenty of people telling you that you're not.
Yeah.
And as a young girl, yes. And as a young girl, that kind of sticks with you. Mm-hmm. You know, as you get older, that manifested into like an eating disorder because I didn't think I was good enough. Here I am. You know, I think it started about 13. I was about 13 years old, and I just wanted to be good enough. And I just never got that self-esteem that I needed.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to show everyone else, not just young girls of color, but everybody across the board, that they are beautiful and that they are worthy. But I want to catch them at a young age. Yeah. Because if you don't, everybody else, the whole world is telling them something different. Mm-hmm. So if you don't catch them at a young age, they will fall into that trap like I did. And I didn't want that. You know, when I grew up, I had a daughter. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing some of the insecurity signs that I exhibited when I was younger in my daughter. And I did not want that. And that's when I started. I said, no, we're not going to do this for her. We can't do this for her.
I love change makers who change everything, like generationally change things. Like I've been thinking a lot about that before. I was like, I can't think about generation, my kids' kids. I can't think 10 minutes in front of me sometimes.
Right.
But what you're doing is a legacy that's going to be impacting your kids and their kids and their kids.
Right.
And And you changed the dynamic from what you had. And that is powerful. I love it.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
I love it. I had a very abusive, traumatic childhood. And that's not the story for today, but I had a lot of those messages, right?
Yeah.
They hold on.
Hold on.
And you got to untie them and undo them. And I mean, even the neighbors called me, I was the little white trash.
Oh,
uh-huh. I mean, I would hear them call me that when I'd walk down the street from school.
My
gosh. And that held on for, I mean, I'm way old now, but not really. I feel younger. But I didn't release that until my late 40s.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what happens. Because, yeah. And I'll tell you what, and I don't even realize it, but as I'm teaching my daughter, and my young boys as well, but teaching my daughter specifically to have higher self-esteem, I'm realizing I'm harboring some of those feelings still. I did not know it, but it comes out as I'm trying to instill self-esteem in my daughter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the time, you know, I'll walk past the mirror, you know, I'm sure we've all done it and say, oh, you know, maybe I could lose a couple pounds.
Yeah.
Or it's just kind of like, oh, you know, as you get older, that's another thing. You know, that's a whole separate thing I want to dive into. But as you get older, it's kind of like you have to appreciate your beauty as you get older. But everyone else around you is telling you like, oh, you know, you're getting older and you're not looking as attractive. Everything, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. It's like you get all these messages and it's kind of like you're trying to fight off those messages and you're really trying. You're trying to be stronger than that. But they're coming from left and right. You got makeup all over the place. You know, you've got creams to make you look young. I mean, just there's so much out there that tells you that as you age, you're not getting beautiful.
And the young kids too. Like I know my 20-year-old was 10, 12, whatever. She was learning on YouTube these makeup techniques. And she's really good with makeup. She was teaching me, but she felt like to be someone, she had to be like these people on YouTube. She had to dress this way, look this way, do these things. And you're right. You get so many messages. And the former play therapist in me is like, no, if you can talk to your kids and start giving them repeating messages, at some point they have to choose which one they're going to use.
Yes. Yes. And then when you and I guess were growing up, we didn't have social media like that.
No, thank God.
And it's, yes. Because it's kind of like, it's a double-edged sword. It's kind of like, okay, now I'm seeing more people. My daughter can see more people that look like her and that embrace their inner beauty. But on the other hand, then you have this image that Instagram photos and Facebook photos try to tell you is the standard of beauty. So it's kind of like you can pick up on that or you could pick up on self-esteem. And it's kind of, that's what I'm trying to teach children. You have options. They are out there. There's ridiculous standards of beauty that not even the people on Instagram have with the filters and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can pick up on the other side that says your beauty is powerful and it's good enough. And that's what I want them to pick up on.
Okay. So tell me, how do you do that? Like, what tangibly do you do for people mm-hmm. to pick up on that, for kids to pick up on that?
Okay. Well, first, you can only tell a child so much mm-hmm. because, and even a teenager, because they'll think it's like, oh, here she goes. Yeah. My mom has to say I'm beautiful because, But, you know.
I don't have to believe that.
Yeah. So, of course, I always say affirm it with your child. You need to tell your child yes, mm-hmm. but you also need to show it. The ways that I show it is that I want her to see that I think I'm beautiful. I want her to know that I'm not always nitpicking over every little thing that, you know, I don't like, you know, my stomach's too big, my this and that, or my hair or my, no, I think it's all, if she can follow you, you set the example.
Yeah.
She sees you being happy within yourself. I think they will follow and do the same, or they have a better chance of following and doing the same.
Absolutely.
Now, aside from that, I also say indirectly, kind of trying to, I don't want to say force a friendship with your daughter or a relationship with your daughter or son,
mm-hmm.
but spend time with them. Because a lot of times you don't even know. I didn't even pick up on that my daughter was having like self-esteem issues
mm-hmm.
until, I don't know. I don't even know when I picked up on it, but sometimes it's never too late to fix it. First, let me say that first and foremost, but it's better to catch it in the beginning. If you notice that, you know, she's kind of, I don't like this, or I don't look good in this, or I won't wear this because it makes me look fat, then that's the time to address it and catch it.
Uh-huh.
And it could be something simple, just like spending time with her.
Yeah.
You know, just my daughter, and I, when she was younger, we used to have a good time just going for walks in the morning. I don't know if you know, but I live in the Bahamas right now. I'm from Pennsylvania, but I live in the Bahamas.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And the weather is gorgeous, especially in the winter. So we took advantage of that. We took walks. That's where I found out most of my information about her. She opened up. You know, we had a great relationship. And I listened, I think. I kind of listened. You know, parents, and I don't blame us because life is hectic.
Yeah.
But we do sometimes get wrapped up in our own work, you know, our jobs and just everything else, like, you know, running in traffic, running late here, doing this, feeding it, everything. You get wrapped up in everything that you don't like sit down and take the time to talk to your children. And it's just a simple like check-in, you know, how's everything? You know, I have my son, he's 16 now, but I used to ask him every day, how's school? Fine. How's this? Fine. How's that? So you kind of have to read between the lines.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like, forge your relationship with your children. You got to catch them early. You really do. You have to catch them early because it makes their life and your life easier.
It does. And what I love to teach this is, especially with teenage boys, and therapy, like I would get a lot that it would be like, oh, well, who can out stubborn who here and be silent and not speak first, right? Like I can win that game all day long. I can go six sessions without you speaking and we'll just be fine until I win, right? Like, but one of the things that I learned to draw them out is asking questions differently. What was something that happened at school this week that you thought, oh, that was kind of interesting? It's harder to avoid what questions, right? What, like I asked you, what was something this week that surprised you?
You
what is something that you heard someone say, especially that teenager, heard someone say this week that you thought, oh, I didn't really like that. You start getting into, and you just do them in passing, like when you're walking or whatever. And how was school today? Oh, fine. Let them do that. Ease into it. Oh, fine. Oh, what was something? because now you've got them, right?
Right.
If it's fine, then let's answer this next question. You start, and if you can keep it not specific to them, then you start pushing it to the people around them. They'll start talking. You're going to start seeing what they're involved in, what they're exposed to.
That's good. Yeah.
And it'll build their self-esteem and start them to be more introspective of their choices.
Yes.
Because
absolutely.
Then think about it. When you get to the question of, this is where I love, so I'm kind of picking back on what you're already doing. And I think you probably naturally already do this stuff, but it's, okay, what was something you heard this week that made you go, oh, I didn't like that? Well, you find out what it is. Okay, well, what was your response? Oh, I didn't do anything. I just heard somebody say it to so-and-so. Oh, well, if you could have responded, what could you have done?
Right.
And this particular person I'm thinking about came and said, well, I could have talked to the girl that was hurt by these words later when the other person wasn't around and said something.
Yes.
And I was like, now we're talking.
And then they'll remember that for next time. Like if it happens again, they'll remember your discussion.
Yeah.
And boom. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think parents think, because we are so busy, 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 and I'm guilty of this. And if I could go back and do childhood again, I would do things not totally different, but I would do things different in this realm because I'm learning now what I didn't know then.
Yeah.
We don't know these things. So we just coast through our day to day to day and hope for the best.
But
we hope the school's going to teach them. We hope somebody else is going to teach them. We hope we're going to get it here. We outsource our parenting.
Right. And I love my parents did a wonderful job. But the one thing I kind of wish is that my mom and I were a little closer.
Yeah.
She had four children. She had three girls and one boy. Mm-hmm. And we never got that one-on-one time.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. You know what I mean? I just thought, oh, this is just the way life is. You're just a kid. Your mom's busy, whatever. You know, she's got, you know, three other kids. And I just never knew that. But if I could go back in time, I would want to spend more time with my mom. I would love to do that.
Love that. So what was the transformation or the leading point that got you into saying, okay, if I'm going to help kids with self-esteem and I'm going to get this message out so that parents do it differently, and I'm going to do that through books.
Mm-hmm.
What led up to that, to make that decision to go, oh, I've got something here. This is how I'm going to do it.
Well, I think it started when I had my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take it back a little further, but I was working in corporate America for years.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, I came over here to the Bahamas on vacation. I met a guy, fell in love, and moved here. And I basically never left.
Love it. That's awesome.
When does that happen, right?
Hello.
But it all started when I think I had my daughter. Like I was always interested in writing. And again, I'm going to date myself. I love comic books. My favorite when I was a child, and I still have a stack of them, were the Archie comics.
I was just sitting here saying that.
Oh my gosh. I love Archie comics.
The Archie comics.
Oh my gosh. And I still have a ton of them. I still have a ton of them. You know, hold on to. Hopefully they'll be worth something one day. I always knew I loved writing, but that just wasn't a thing. Like I went to college and it was like, okay, well, what do I do? Well, okay. Well, I guess marketing, I guess business, you know? So I kind of did that. And then it just wasn't for me. Like, you know, when you know, what did the kids say? You know, if you know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. And it just wasn't for me. And so when I moved here to the Bahamas with my husband, it was kind of like, okay, so what do I do now? You know, there's only so many marketing firms. There's only so many jobs for my degree. And then that's when I figured out, you know, I could write. So I started writing books. Like I have a few adult fiction novels that are out there. And I enjoyed that time period of my life. I had a few published. But then when I had my daughter, then I figured it was time to transition to children's books.
Uh-huh.
So I started writing children's books. But then I wanted to go deeper and I wanted to kind of instill some self-esteem, maybe like a learning lesson or something like that. And that's what I was looking to do. Yeah. And then that's how I got into the children's books. That's how I got into the coloring books. And I've been there ever since. Now, I'm not saying I will never go back to adult fiction or anything like that. But for right now, you know, I'm where I need to be, where I should be.
I love it. And it's so needed. And I saw that. I was like, people need to know this exists. And I have a lot of teacher friends because I saw one of your websites. I think something for teacher resources and stuff. And I was like,
okay, okay.
I was like a first grade reading and writing teacher. I could have used this.
And you know, and then as a kid, I could have, I would have loved to have seen that. Now, don't get me wrong. I loved my Judy Blume book. I was a big Judy Blume fan, but there were only like a few, like a handful of books that I could relate to specifically, you know, being a young girl of color. So I kind of wanted to create that for other children, this generation.
And it's so needed, like everybody, no matter the color, they need to feel included. But when everything is white, I get that. Like, I actually went to junior high. You said you went to an all white school. In junior high, I actually went to a school where it was predominantly African American.
Oh, okay. So we were
junior high. It's very unusual, right? Okay. And I think now, at the time, I was a fish out of water. I didn't know what was happening, right? We moved there in the middle of my sixth grade year. I was there through ninth grade. Then I moved to a country school and I ended up hating it because I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know. There was one person that was African-American out there who became one of my best friends to this day. And she was like, girl, all you white girls, like it was, she was feeling like you were. So I feel like I can understand from her perspective yet not being in the shoe. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it was, now I understand it because I think now like there wasn't anything in the 70s, 80s, 90s even
for
color. So when they're learning something, they're learning it. I'm just with you on that. I don't want
You know, it's just in reverse, but you understand. It's just, it's not even about color, really. It's just
not
self-esteem and knowing who you are and just grasping that at an early age.
If you're looking for even more support and guidance on your personal growth journey, in your marriage, or even in your business, then I invite you to check out the Thrive Life Collective app. Our holistic approach rooted in research, science, and scripture can help you strengthen your life, relationships, and business one step at a time. Plus, our Thrive Today feature provides a daily motivation and encouragement in just 3 to 5 minutes a day. So why wait? Sign up for the Thrive Life Collective app today in Apple and Google app stores, and let's continue growing together.
Absolutely. And knowing that you're valuable no matter what, no matter what you look like or where you come from or what color your skin. And you said something earlier, and I was not going to say this, but I'm just kind of feeling called to. I was at a mastermind event. I've been putting myself in rooms with people that are much, much farther ahead than me. I will tell you, I'm the bottom 0.0001% of these rooms. It's been an eye opening, but there were some people of color in this room. And I remember it was a very spiritual moment. And this guy, his name was Anthony O'Neill. And I know he wouldn't mind me saying this. He's got a pretty big following on Instagram and he does a lot of financial stuff and helping people with communication and getting relationships. And I remember him just quietly saying, I wish there were more people like me in this room. And it broke my heart, because I had thought of him so respectful and meaningful. Mm-hmm. And like, I adored him and you could just see it on him. I wish there was more people like me in this room.
Yes. I've been there. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know that's not where we were going to take this, but I think it's important for people to hear it.
Right.
For sure. But it goes back to that self-esteem too. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right. Because his self-esteem, I feel like, was pretty good. He took it to, I wish that. But then his next thing was, I'm going to figure out how to make that happen.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes.
That's the key. Yes. Because I'll tell you right now, as a Black person in America, we've all felt like that at one point in time.
And I don't think I understand that.
When you go into a room sometimes, and you know, I don't really want to take it there, but it does have to do with self-esteem. But sometimes you go into a room and you don't see anyone, and you see one or two people that kind of look like you. And it's just kind of like, you know, I wish there were more.
Yeah.
You know, I've done that several times. So that's common thinking. But I'm just glad he took it a step further and said, I'm going to change that.
I'm going to change it. And if I have to mentor and build up and do whatever I got to do to make it happen, I'm doing it. And I was like, that I love. Yes. And it says go back into that self-esteem. Because if you hit, this is where we go back to that legacy thing and generational change.
Right.
What you're doing is when you're catching them younger, you can create that generational change that lasts forever. Because you're hitting them younger. So when they get to that point of being in that room, they're going to be like, but I own this room.
Right. Right.
And that's not, that's not pride. That's not anything else. That's knowing I'm worth being here.
Yes. And we've had so many years of feeling like we're not worth it. Even like as a young girl, it's just when you grow up, and again, it doesn't matter what color, but when you grow up and you work with a room full of men, sometimes you're like, shrinking violet here. It's just kind of like, wow, what's going on here? Like, I'm the only woman in this room. And it's just, it feels odd. And no. I want to change that in general. I want you, like you said, walk into the room and own it. Know that you should be there.
Yeah.
You're exactly where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Self-esteem.
I was just having a similar conversation a couple months ago with some friends, and two of them are in male dominated fields. One's those private jets and the other one is in a medical field. And they have different experiences than me, but I've been primarily in a female field, right? Until now. And my clients aren't, but I've been in rooms in the last year that I'm like a wallflower. Because I'm like, I don't know if I belong here, if I'm accepted. But one of the things that we found was men at a high level will promote other men.
Yes.
Rarely do you find one that'll promote a woman into that field. And then I've also found that women don't want to promote other women. And I am passionate about changing that. They'll say they do.
Uh-huh.
But then something happens and they get threatened or feel less than, or they're going to take something from me. I mean, come on. No. Right?
I guess it would be a separate subject, but I've experienced that before as well. Yeah. And it's not a good feeling.
It's not a good feeling, but it goes all back. And I know we kind of go off a tangent seemingly here, but I love to do podcasts where it's just a conversation and see where it goes. But I think it goes back into that self-esteem. If I did not have some sort of foundational self-esteem that has been built, whether it's through, it wasn't from childhood, but whether it's from therapy or working on my own junk or learning things and knowing with some confidence that I have something to contribute.
Right.
I would never put myself in that position. It's hard to put myself in that position, even having that foundational self-esteem.
Yes.
If I didn't have any of that and we didn't build, it all comes back to that. Your identity. Yes. Of who you are. Self-esteem is really your identity.
Yeah. And self-esteem also helps you build up other people. Now, you're building up yourself, of course, but let's go to what we were just talking about. Yeah. And let's say I am that woman in that room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm this high power exec, and I have the opportunity to uplift and promote and empower other women.
Mm-hmm.
You have enough self-esteem to say, yes, I want you on board. Because we can work together, not, you're going to be my competition. And we have this right to empower ourselves and to help others. But sometimes we just don't do it. And it's so sad because I don't know if it's because we feel as though somebody's going to take our job or we don't have enough esteem within ourselves to say, you know, I want to help somebody else reach my level. I don't know exactly why, but sometimes that happens and it's a sad thing. So it's like, if you have enough self-esteem, you know, you will eventually, you'll help yourself, of course, but you will help others. Yes. You will help others.
you'll help others because you're not threatened by it.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. I've got my path and our paths may be similar, but there's enough for both.
Yes.
There's enough for both. It's a limiting mindset. Like,
yes,
that there's just not enough. And I'm like, but there is.
There is. Yeah.
There is. And can you imagine if we walked into rooms that were like that and the people that are making the changes in the world that are needed and there was more women in them? Because I actually had a client who's a male, a doctor, okay, tell me earlier today in a coaching call. He said, I'm so glad that I started working with you because, and I don't usually hear this from my clients because, you know, you never know. And I have a lot of egos in some of my clients.
I bet, yeah.
And he said, I did not realize the value that a woman's voice was going to make. And what it was is we were reviewing goals from the last year and the progress. Yeah. I did not know that that was a thing, that a female voice speaking into me in my profession, in my business, in my life, in my relationship, is so profound on the progress I made in 1 year.
Like, wow.
If they would open up and see, right? But I don't know what that is, but it's a self-esteem thing, right?
Yes.
To have enough self-esteem that even with an ego of a doctor, which they're not known for, that he would let somebody else and say, maybe I don't know it all.
Yes.
Maybe I don't.
Yes.
And that comes somewhere. There's something put in the first 4 years of your life, 5 years, 6 years of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's studies on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just across the board, it's just kind of like, when you do instill self-esteem when you're younger, it's like when the world comes at you and tells you that, you know, you're not this, you're not that, you can just shrug it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so hard right now because it's all over the place. Social media is just all over the place telling you that. But we need to arm our kids. We need to arm our kids with as much self-esteem as possible. So it's just a brush off the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Someone tells them that you're not this, you're not that. It's like, well, okay, you're entitled to your opinion and keep it moving. That's what I want kids to do. I don't want them to withdraw or, you know, unfortunately, like I said, growing up in the 70s, you know, that's exactly what I did. I grew up thinking I wasn't good enough. And that did affect my positions that I went for.
Yeah.
But you don't even know it. It might be buried so deep within my subconscious, but I probably lost a lot of potential positions, clients, because I just didn't have the esteem to go after what I wanted.
Absolutely.
You know, so you can't do that. Oh, you're not going to be able to do that. Just sit back and be quiet and, you know, let everybody else do it.
Yeah.
And that came from lack of self-esteem.
1,000%. I feel that. Like,
yeah.
I'm a person too. Yeah. Like, I've done the exact same thing for a long, long time until I was finally like, well, maybe I could be different. Maybe.
Yeah.
And put your toe in the water and try it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a mom listening or a grandmom listening to this, like, and maybe you're like, well, I didn't even do that. Well, it's never too late. Like, I didn't become a therapist until I was in my 40s. So, I mean, I'm a late bloomer over here. So it's just put your toe in the water, because that example you're going to set for those kids or grandkids that you have now.
Right.
Like, you change. Powerful.
Yes. And they're watching. You might not think they're watching. Oh, but they see everything.
They do. Everything. I remember when one of my youngest, that's 20 now, we were shopping for clothes. It was at JCPenney's.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated shopping for clothes because I didn't fit in anything right. And I felt ugly and overweight and all these things. And I remember just being very negative in that dressing room. She was maybe five. And look fat in this. Oh, my belly hangs. Oh, this isn't working. And I remember her going, but mom, you're beautiful. Like, you tell me I'm beautiful. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. And I didn't even think much about it. And then we went to try on her clothes. And she's like, I don't like the way this fits. Oh, I feel fat in this. Oh, I'm just naturally repeating everything I'd said, even though it wasn't true.
Yes. She's like, mimicking you. Yes.
I was like, this is a problem.
Yeah.
And I vowed from that day forward, like, I would never do that again, even if I thought it.
Yes.
I didn't realize the impact it was having on her.
Yeah. That's hard.
She made it her truth and it wasn't her truth.
Right. And it wasn't even your truth, but it's all about perception. It's what you were taught, what I was taught when we were younger. You know, you got to be this size. You got to look this way. Your body has to be like this, you know? So it's natural that we're going in, trying on clothes in JCPenney and just, oh, I don't look like that. So therefore this is ugly. I don't like the way this looks. And, you know, we're going to have to set the example and we are going to falter. I will say that we're not perfect. Grandma, mom, we're not perfect.
Yeah.
But the key is to kind of catch it and realize you're doing it and then kind of make the change slowly.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go from 0 to 100 in, you know, overnight. It's kind of like making slow changes. If you're not happy with your body, then, you know, work out or something. Just do something for yourself. Do something that makes you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter and I, we started, when we started walking, not only did I feel good physically, mentally, and emotionally, you know, I was at the top of the chart because I was spending time with her. You know, it wasn't even about looking good anymore. It was more about, you know, having a relationship with her. And then it was kind of like the getting in shape and losing weight was the icing on the cake, you know, but it was the main focus. And I had done something that my daughter recognized and I think she appreciated. And I hope she takes it with her child.
Yeah. I adore that so much. So I've loved having you on the show. Like, this has been like, I'm excited before and now meeting you. I'm like, you are a powerful voice for kids even women and men too. But it's, how do people find you? I'm going to put all everything in the show notes so they don't have to worry about writing it down. But I want, as we end up here, is there anything else that you are like, I just need to say this one last thing? And how do they find you?
Okay. The one last thing, I just want to reiterate that do not blame yourself, parents. Do not blame yourself. It's just something that we knew, something that we grew up with. Now you can do better. You can do better. You know better now, so you can do better. So it's just kind of like, take it from today. And my mantra is just live in the moment. You know, don't look ahead. Don't look back. You know, I've had this, you know, traumatic. I don't want to say traumatic. I had a good childhood, but there are certain instances that I would change. Yes.
Yes.
But it happened. I can't change that. But moving forward, it's just remember that and do better. You don't have to lament on it or ponder it. Just remember and do better. So that's it. How you can find me? You can find me on Amazon under Happy Island Press. That's where all the coloring books. That's My Pretty is my first coloring book. The second one is I Imagine. And then I wrote a picture book, which is called President for a Day. And all of that's on Amazon. You can find me on Facebook under Happy Island Press. You can find me on Instagram under Happy Island Press or L Handfield or Facebook too under L Handfield. So you can go to Happy Island Press or you can come to my personal page.
All right. I love that. Thank you so much for the time and being here. And just, I can't wait to get the word out to so many thousands of people.
Yeah, thank you. I enjoyed it. It was almost like therapy for me. So I loved it.
Well, come on back anytime.
Okay. Let me know.
Thanks for tuning in to Couch Time. This is Amy Wine, and I hope you've enjoyed today's episode and gained some valuable insights that you can apply to your own life, relationships, and business. Remember, you're capable of achieving anything you set your mind to, and I believe in you. Keep showing up, keep taking action, and keep striving for greatness. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe. I would be forever grateful if you could please leave a rating and a review and share it with someone who you think could benefit from these conversations. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, keep living your life authentically and intentionally on purpose. And keep thriving in all areas of your life.
Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges, from reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection. We're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're gonna find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com and let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.